Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Wommen, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching, focusing on being led by the Holy Spirit, was recorded at a recent Gospel Truth seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
He preached a message, gave an invitation, and he saw two or three miracles, and that was a confirmation. And then Oral Roberts started going out and preaching healing. And it wasn't only him. There was other people, but he's one of the more notable ones. And people started going out, and all of a sudden, there was a healing outpouring, and they started seeing great miracles of healing. And people go back and they say, man, God poured out healing back there. And then he poured out the baptism of the Holy Spirit during the charismatic move. And then there was the word movement. And then there's all of these other movements. God doesn't move in waves and movements. God doesn't just all of a sudden in the 50s he wanted people healed. And now he doesn't care whether people get healed. That was back in the 50s he did that. But now, no, that's not the way that God is. What it is, God wants it, all of it. He's given us the Holy Spirit. But we are in such a deficit. We are in such a culture of unbelief in the church. The church is so full of unbelief that somebody just starts pressing through and they break through. It's like they puncture some kind of a barrier in the spirit over healing. And it starts manifesting through them and everybody else sees it. And so all of a sudden now they've got faith for healing. They couldn't have broken that barrier on their own. But now that somebody else has done it, they'll get in and get in step and they start preaching healing, and all of a sudden a lot of healings happen, and people go back and say, well, it must have been God's will to just pour out healing. No, it's God's will to pour out prophecy and pour out faith and pour out victory and finances and everything all at once. But we are so full of unbelief, it's a miracle for anybody to break through in any area. And so you just find little victories in these areas. But God wants us to be a well-rounded people. God wants everything flowing in your life all at once. God wants revival more than you want revival. He placed it on the inside of you. You don't need to be begging God for revival. What you need to do is go out and use what God has given you and raise somebody from the dead, and you'll have all the revival you can handle. I can prove it. I've raised people from the dead, and I guarantee you it causes a revival. Go out and start at your work. Start walking in the power of the Holy Ghost. Start speaking positive. Start telling people that, man, God supplies all of your needs. When everybody else is getting the flu, stand there and say, cough on me. I dare you. No plague will come nigh my dwelling. Stand on the Word of God and you'll be the only person healed and stuff. And you start manifesting the healing power of God. And you know what? You can walk in a way that you'll have revival. People will come to you. Man, I don't know how to say this better than what I'm doing, but God's given us everything. God's not at fault. We don't need to go to God as if we're beggars. And God, you can do anything. You have done nothing, but would you please move? God has already given you His secret weapon. He's given you the Holy Spirit, and we aren't using it. Boy, if this is true, what I'm saying, then why do we go to God as if we have no power? It's because of what we believe. We don't know what we've got. Our faith isn't effectual because we haven't acknowledged the good things that are in us. Brothers and sisters, we have the power of the Holy Spirit. What more do you want? You've got God Almighty. The Holy Spirit is a part of the Godhead. You have God living on the inside of you. You are God possessed. And yet we're intimidated by people who are demon possessed. We're bothered by that. Something's wrong with this picture. There's nothing wrong with God. There's nothing wrong with what God has given us. We just aren't using what God has given us. You know, if I somehow or another had the ability to just give you something that could heal every sickness and every disease, take care of every emotion so that you would rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, If I had something that I gave you that could produce prosperity and peace and joy and anointing, and you could do miracles, you could walk on water, you could open blinded eyes. If I gave you something like that, and then you came back to me telling about all of your problems and asking, could I please do something, and begging and pleading, and when I don't respond to you, you get 100 other people to join with you and try and put pressure on me to make it come to pass. That wouldn't please me. I'd be saying basically, why don't you use what I've already given you? Brothers and sisters, God's given us everything. The only thing we don't have is the knowledge of what we've got. We get transformed. Romans chapter 12 verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The problem is we haven't renewed our mind. We don't know what we have. We're going around acting like we're mere human beings. We aren't only human beings. One third of me is wall to wall Holy Ghost. One third of me is filled with the power of God. Now, I admit that there's still a part of me that's just as human as anybody else, and I can be as discouraged, I can make mistakes, but there is one third of me that is Almighty God. As Jesus is, so am I in this world, is what it says in 1 John 4:17. And so there is a process. It's not just automatic. I'm not pure yet. I've still got two thirds of me that hasn't been redeemed, but one third of me is redeemed. And as much as I can renew my mind to it, I can see victory in my life. And so the emphasis on us ought to be on renewing our mind and on seeking and learning what we have instead of pleading with God and begging with Him as if He hasn't done anything. You know, I'm way off the subject. I might as well stay off the subject. Look over here in Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, it gives us an indication of some of these things that we have on the inside of us. Paul is praying a prayer. And in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, he says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now, Paul is going to pray a prayer for these people. And it became scripture. And here we are 2,000 years later reading his prayer that he prayed for these people. Let me ask you this question. And be honest. Before I was preaching here today, before I had done this, if you were going to write a prayer out for someone, and if you were praying for a group of people 2,000 years in the future, if they were going to read your prayer and you wanted this prayer to impact them, how would you pray for people? You know, it might differ from person to person, but the general thrust of the body of Christ prayer, if you were typical, the way most people would pray for people in the future is, oh God, we ask you to just pour out your Spirit upon these people. Oh God, move. Oh God, touch them. God, do a new thing. Oh God, that you would do that. It would all be pleading with God to do something. How's Paul's prayer? What's he praying? It's the exact opposite. Look what he said here. In verse 17, here's what he's praying, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. If you go back in the first part of this verse, he already had said that God is abounded towards us in wisdom and in prudence. So God has already given us wisdom and prudence through our born again spirit. So if you take this in context, he's not even asking God to give you wisdom. He's just really asking God to release and stir up the wisdom that has already been placed on the inside of you. And then in verse 18, he goes on to say that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. This same word that was translated understanding here was translated imagination other places in scriptures. That's a powerful truth. Man, I'd love to teach on that. But the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe. according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, etc. All He's doing is praying that you would get a revelation of what God has already done. The same thing is said in Colossians chapter 2. He says, I have great conflict for those of you who have not seen my face in the flesh. In other words, the Colossian church wasn't started by Paul, but it was a convert of Paul who went and preached. And so these were like the grandchildren of the Apostle Paul. They had never seen him personally, so they got the message secondhand. And he was saying, I have great conflict for those of you who haven't heard me firsthand, because I want to make sure that you have the riches of the fullness of understanding, to the riches of the glory of His inheritance, all of these things, and the acknowledgement of this mystery. If you read that prayer over in Colossians chapter 2, it's all about acknowledging what you already have, using, getting the full assurance and the riches of understanding. He's not praying that God will give you anything new. The truth is, when you got born again, Jesus came and lived on the inside of you. And the only other thing that you need is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus and the Holy Spirit are one. They do not operate independent of each other. Jesus didn't do any miracles until the Holy Spirit descended upon Him and until He was anointed. And Jesus, even though you're born again, the power that you have living on the inside of you will not be manifest until the Holy Spirit comes and starts enabling you. But when you get Jesus and the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, then you have everything that you need, and the rest of the Christian life is discovering what you already have. And releasing what you have, not getting God to touch you, not going over here and getting something new, and not going over there. You know, in the last days it says that they'll say, behold, the Lord is here. No, He's over here. And they will go from place to place. And that's what we see happening. Man, you've already got it. You've already got the life of God on the inside of you. You don't need more from God. What you need is less unbelief, less cares of this world, less opinions of everybody else.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on how to be led by the Holy Spirit. This teaching series was recorded at a recent Gospel Truth seminar in Kansas City, Kansas. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Request series RM229 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The 4th CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the 4th teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
Once again, I'd like to encourage you to take advantage of what we call the Andrew Womack Living Commentary. This is actually my footnotes on over 9,000 verses in the Bible. It's in a Bible program. You get three versions of the Bible with that. You get 4 Bible dictionaries and commentaries, and mine is one of them. And the reason we call it a living commentary is because as I write footnotes every month, there are updates available. We have a sample of this on our website, so I'd like to direct you to that. You could actually check it out and see, and you could sign up right online. But check out the Andrew Womack Living Commentary. I think it's going to be a tremendous blessing to you.